A reminder from the NAACP. Make your voice heard and vote April 1st.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The police department confirms to ABC News three people are dead and 14 others injured from the mass shooting last night at Young Park in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
1143 Central, we have multiple gunshot victims.
Police radio from Grotesquify, no arrests yet. The Trump administration targeting a new set of migrants for deportation, says ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
The Trump administration says that as soon as next month, they are revoking the legal status of more than 500,000 migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. If they don't leave after losing their status, they could be targets for deportation.
More vandalism against Teslas. Three people charged for allegedly hurling gasoline bombs at Tesla vehicles across three states. Measles cases nationwide are more than the total for all of last year. Officials say most of the cases are in Texas and New Mexico, most not vaccinated or unknown vaccination status. This is ABC News. The search continues for a family of tourists who vanished earlier this month after a visit to the Grand Canyon. They were reported missing by the South Korean consulate on Tuesday. GPS data from their rental car showed it in the area of a chain reaction accident near Williams, Arizona.
We spent 3 days searching. We've exhausted all the leads and searched all the areas that we felt they would be.
John Paxton with the Coconino County Sheriff's Office. Affected by President Trump's executive order dismantling the Department of Education, more than $1.6 trillion in student loans. Bankrate principal loans writer Andrew Pentis.
Many borrowers who are not enrolled in an income-driven repayment plan but want to be are experiencing that higher monthly payment right now. So income-driven repayment plans cap borrowers' monthly dues at a percentage of their income. And without that option on the table, their budget could be breaking right now.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A record number of visitors toured America's national parks and monuments last year, including sites here in Wisconsin. More than 331 million people flocked to national parks in 2024. Here in Wisconsin, Apostle Islands and the St. Croix Scenic National Riverway both saw boosts in visitors. It's unclear, though, what the summer travel season will hold this year after the Trump administration fired 1,000 National Parks employees across the country on Valentine's Day. Time to say happy birthday to our state parks. This year, Wisconsin's state park system turns 125. Our oldest park is Interstate Park, located along the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, established back in 1900. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's Supreme Court race is technically nonpartisan, but the lines are drawn. Elon Musk has put millions into Brad Schimmel's campaign. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Musk's company, Tesla, is suing the state for denying its request for dealers' licenses, a case that could reach the high court. University of Wisconsin-Madison professor Michael Wagner says the state's rule about justices making their own decisions about when to recuse themselves from cases makes the election outcome that much more consequential.
It's in a presidential swing state, it's on a swing court, and the cases that are going to come before the court are going to be cases where the donors in the election, most notably Elon Musk, have a clear interest and a clear path they want the winning judge to take.
Judge Susan Crawford of Dane County has been called out for receiving campaign money from Democratic billionaire George Soros and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Spending on this race is expected to top the historic $56 million spent on the last state Supreme Court race. Millions have been spent on ads to sway undecided voters. A recent Marquette University poll found many say they still don't know enough about each candidate. But he notes some of the ads egregiously misrepresent the candidates, like a Schimmel campaign ad that featured the wrong Susan Crawford.
We live in this environment where it's just easier to take the shortcut that feels good in the moment, even if it's not true, even if it isn't good for the long-term project of living together and governing together as citizens.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice start to the weekend with sunny skies today and highs in the mid-30s. For tonight, a mix of rain and snow developing late, becoming breezy as well with a low near 26. On Sunday, a mix of rain and snow changing to all rain with highs in the lower 40s. Right now, it's 30.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we've got Angela Lang from Block here as our co-host for the day. Also, Representative Darren B. Madison, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.fm.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and here's this week's episode. Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I am here with Dana Ehrman, ladies and gentlemen, Milwaukee's own. Dana, how's it going?
Charlie, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the Cripescast.
For people who don't know, you are a staple in the Milwaukee comedy scene.
That's very nice.
It's very true. Actually, you were, I believe, first opener I ever had.
I believe so, because it was the first time you did Turner Hall, two shows, sold out, and I got to open for you on those.
Yeah, and then the night before, I did Skyline Comedy Club.
That's right.
But I don't think you opened there.
I wasn't there.
I think I might have been a local opener at Skyline. Or I'm just forgetting about that opener. But anyway, you're the first opener that I recall in this moment. And it's been real cool. We've done a lot of shows since, and we got to do a lot more shows starting in the fall when I'm starting the tour up again. But anyways, enough about that. Thanks for coming in. How you been?
I've been doing okay. Things are busy, comedy and just life, but I think you can relate to that better than anybody, right? You're on the road, just came back.
Yeah. Back on, back off, you know, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But how about you? Have you been doing, where you've been playing recently?
I've been really lucky since December. I've been at a club every weekend, or more often than not, like Comedy on State, Laughing Tap, Milwaukee Improv, Comedy Cabin. So I've been very lucky getting to work with some good names there.
That's awesome. Yeah, so like the improv, I just want to dive into this. You were talking about this right before we started recording. They got books in their green room now.
And I'll tell you what, they were not always there. And I thought, oh, have they picked up on my literary vibe? I've talked about my English degree on stage enough that they wanted me to feel more welcome. That's not why.
No, why is it? I mean, because I've done that club a bunch of times. I can't ever remember reading a book in that green room.
No.
I've read a beer label. That's about it.
They, I guess, in the Four Corners of Brookfield, that mall that the improv is in, there is some sort of high-end store that puts things they don't want anymore in a certain place. And books were part of that. And they snatched them up, put them in the green room just to make it feel more cozy.
Yeah, that's great. I wonder what the books are. I'll have to get back in there and check that out.
Well, teaser, Human Biochemistry.
Really?
Yeah.
Why the hell does a high-end store have random human biochemistry books?
I don't know. And I didn't crack it open to see.
You didn't ask questions.
It may have been hollow. I don't know.
I know. You always wonder, like, anytime I see books on a shelf, I'm kind of like, all right, which one of these has a hammer in it? You know, like,
yeah.
Which one's kind of holding a gun, you know? That's also a fun thing to do, a hollow out a book to put something in.
I've done that.
Yeah. Would you hide in your book?
Well, actually, I just did it as a gift to give someone. And go to the library and their little shelf of books they're selling for 50 cents and just pick out something boring as shit. and hollow that baby out.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy that books have become like DIY things, you know?
Yeah.
Man, we are. I read this story, too, that said that we're just getting being worse readers as time has gone on.
I was going to say, we'll do anything with a book as long as it's not reading it.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. Do you read a lot?
Oh, my God. I don't.
Oh.
It's shameful.
No.
I mean, I read a lot of articles on the Internet, but I'm not trying to say that's the same, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was like that for a long time, and then I kind of started reading more recently. Not because I'm better than you, but, you know.
It's not because you're better than me.
No, I don't know. I just been, you know what? It helps me sleep.
No, I'm all about those screens right before I get my shut eye.
Are you?
Yeah.
You like that blue light just doing its thing, just keeping you awake longer?
You know it.
Just funding the melatonin, big melatonin.
I'm doing the New York Times crossword from 1987 right before I close my peepers.
Oh, I didn't even know that was an option there.
Oh, yeah. If you sign up, you get the archives, baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm tempted. Now I'm tempted. That sounds actually kind of fun. I've never been a big crossword person. What does it take to be a crossword person? What kind of skills do you have to bring to the table?
Well, you know, reading would help. Reading would help. I'd be better at it if I read more.
I mean, can you use dictionaries?
I don't.
What are the rules?
You make your own rules. You can even have auto check on checks as you go.
Oh, that's not fun.
Well, you don't have to have it on.
I suppose.
I'm not telling you how to live your life.
No, I suppose these are different options. And who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?
Let's get you on board.
Okay. All right. I'm with that. Hey, I want to start off this episode with the question we've been ending a lot of Cripescast with, but I kind of want to get it off the top of the deal from now on. What makes you say cripes?
What makes me say cripes, among other things, is getting a work phone call.
Getting a work phone call.
Anything can be an email.
Okay.
Getting a call is an act of aggression.
Wow.
Email me.
Really?
Especially because if you're going to ask me a question, I may not know.
Yeah.
So then we're just on the phone, you know.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let me figure it out. Get back to you.
Yeah. You're a pontificator. You're a thinker and an absorber. And you do not want to be called. I called you. Also, and I don't remember you picking up. So this tracks.
Yeah, yeah. See?
You're more of a texter.
I am.
God, that's interesting. That's kind of I think, almost a popular thing these days, too, you know, to not want to do the phone call. I want to figure it out over the phone.
I suppose. But at least, you know, if it's like you, a friend, I can see that you care through that. But at work, what are you doing? What am I supposed to get out of that?
Yeah. 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 Do you guys have a lot of Zoom calls?
A fair amount. Yeah. Okay. We do a fair amount of Zoom. Skype's going out of business.
Is it?
Yeah. Because they clearly, you know, messed up the pandemic opportunity and never recovered.
How does Skype, what's the one? Oh, Zoom. Most people do Zoom.
Yeah.
Man. What a way to, yeah, what a deal. I just said Zoom call. I didn't say Skype call.
Well, it's become like Kleenex. Like, that's just what we say.
Yeah, that's crazy. What's the etiquette on turning the camera on in a Zoom call?
Mandatory.
It's mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 You know, here's my thing with that. I get that. You know, people want to see each other face to face or whatever, but I just feel like we're always looking at these things, you know, and maybe it'd be better to just everybody on the call, just go take a walk and put the phone in their pocket, you know?
Oh, I like that.
And it would like lower everybody's blood pressure, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just say, this is a walking Zoom call, you know?
Especially if it's going to be one that's more, you know, one person talking. Just let me listen and do whatever.
Yeah.
I like the way you think.
Yeah, that's because I'm not trying to be rude. You know, for a while I was just like doing that, not really being, because I don't work in like a business.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I do this thing. But then there are some business phone calls, but it went from like conference call to Zoom call. And at that point, I just never made the transition. I was just always in conference call mode because then I could walk around. So like, I thought it was weird people were turning their cameras on. I was like, I don't need this in my life. I don't need to be looking at this devil machine longer than I have to. So I just, you know, turned it off. And then all of a sudden, I became the rude guy and I didn't even know.
No, not in my book.
Well,
this guy, the rude guy.
And it's people were saying it's rude to not turn your camera on. They were saying it's very Gen Z of me. And I was like, well, I can't help it. I'm young for my age, you know?
Yeah.
But also my intent was just never to, I am paying attention. In fact, walking helps me pay attention.
Yeah. Helps focus.
Yeah. But, anyways,
I don't know. I can't adhere to society's rules. Let me be free.
She says with a Fleetwood Mac shirt on. I like it.
Let me go my own way.
Yeah, you could go your own way. I don't know the rest of the lyrics, but it'd be funnier.
That's the main one.
You can go your own way.
Let's see.
Ooh,
packing up, shacking up's all you want to do.
Nice. Nice. Well done. Well done. So... Dana, let's let people know sort of your journey into comedy. What was the first joke you told?
Oh, first joke? I don't even know if I know first joke, Charlie.
Was that memorable, huh?
I
can't remember my first joke. Oh, maybe I can.
No, but I can tell you this, though.
Yeah.
Because I started in college. It was like a club you could join, stand-up comedy club. And I joined because I was like, oh, I got to put myself out there. Got to do something different, you know, as a freshman. I got to just try something. And I was so nervous because that's who I am as a person.
Yeah.
So at my college in Kenosha, I took my set list before the first show and I went to the beach to just speak my jokes out to the lake, sitting on all these rocks. And despite like a mile of shoreline, another girl from college came down, sat right next to me, and clipped her toenails as I did that. And I didn't feel, I thought it'd be rude to move. So we shared that together.
So bombing doesn't scare you. The silence of an audience doesn't scare you because you came up with the sound of.
Yeah.
You came up with just getting the fear of that wind going the wrong way and you getting a little boomerang right in the eye.
I know, I can't be without it. Yeah. It's in the rider every show.
So she just did. Now you were still saying your jokes out loud as she was sitting there clipping her toenails.
Yeah. And I mean, I did. I was like, you know, I looked over like, what in God's name are you doing? Why aren't you a few meters away? But yeah. Then I kept going. I had a show to do.
And you went with meters, too.
Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know.
I'm from
here. Wisconsin. Yeah. I don't even know what a meter is.
And you don't know it because I said it, but I meant it. M-E-T-R-E-S.
Meters.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. You know, meters, I just always like throw in feet and say, it's probably closest enough. Feet or yards.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I'm in a situation where I really need to know the difference, I'm in trouble.
I'm in trouble, you yeah.
Know? Yeah. That's another thing. We're not reading good and we don't know math good. And I don't even think I said that with proper English. I think it's supposed to be well.
Well, that enhanced what you were saying quite well.
Superman does good. You do well. You are well. Superman, never mind. Who cares? Well, that's wild. So did she react to any of your jokes?
Not at all.
She did. She hear them for sure.
Had to. I mean, the wind and the waves whipped down there. But yeah, she was right up next to me.
I'm curious who the more awkward person is in this situation. You know, like who is it? The fact that you at that point just kept going with your jokes. She must have thought you were performing for her. Or maybe she thought you needed a friend at that moment.
I could see that. I mean, you don't normally see someone having a conversation with the lake and think that they're okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was probably thinking she was doing a good thing. I will say both of us were quite polite to our roommates. The fact that neither of us were doing that in our rooms.
That's a fantastic point. Absolutely.
I'm nothing if not polite.
Maybe she was out there feeling out if you could be her next roommate, you know?
Too bad that didn't come to pass.
I know. You guys didn't even have a conversation with each other. Just kind of looked at each other like two ducks in a pond.
And yet the bond that we share, I remember it to this day.
It's real. I mean, you're bringing it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
What message do you want to say to that gal who was clipping her toenails by you while you were first saying your jokes to the Lake Michigan?
You know, may they never become ingrown.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you, Dana. Thank you for sharing
that. Ingrown toenails, no joke. Not to get on a whole thing, but like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get a lot of ingrown toenails.
No, but I've seen it happen to loved ones.
Mm-hmm. It's tragic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can tell they wince sometimes when they walk, you know?
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. It's important to cut your toenails straight across the whole deal.
That's what they tell me.
Yep. Yep. Don't be tempted to cut those corners. Don't go cutting corners when you're cutting toenails.
What can you cut corners in?
Pretty much everything. Reading. Math.
good.
Should work out okay.
As long as there's something, yeah.
Yeah. But not toenails. So anyways, so you started off doing it. Where did you do your first set? Was it in that class? Or were you guys crazy enough to say, we're going to write these jokes and take them out to a club?
So we had a space on campus that just like once a semester we would put on a show. And so it would just be other college kids, you know, just your friends. So it went super well. But when I was a senior, we did do our first show at a bar, opening up for like a traveling company of Second City.
Yeah.
And I did well, but it was quite different than what we'd been doing. So that means I never started at an open mic the way that almost any other comic does. And I have so much respect for that because that's way scarier than how I had to start out.
Well, it is kind of nice being in that situation where you can bomb and you're expecting to bomb. Because sometimes at an open mic, you're not sure who's never done this before, who's kind of a seasoned pro.
Yeah, no doubt. And dealing with hostile audiences who are mad that the game turned off, you know, like I had none of that.
Yeah, that is a tough thing with comedy at bars is, you know, there's always a game on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but you give it and you go. And so then you kind of move to Milwaukee after that. And
yeah, because I'm from West Allis. So it's like I just went to college in Kenosha and then just moved back when that was done.
For people not from Milwaukee, how would you as a native of West Allis describe West Allis for people not from Wisconsin?
It's a major suburb with a small town vibe. I think it's how someone once described it to me. And I think there's a little truth to that. It's just a really blue collar city, right next to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, there are jokes about West Allis, right? But I never understood why people joked about it until I became an adult. Like that was just life to me and right. Like where I grew up, and it was only after becoming an adult and going elsewhere that I'm like, oh, okay, I see the quirks a little bit.
Yeah, people call it Stallus. What's sort of the best joke you've heard about West Allis? Because it is often kind of a joked about part of town, somewhat unfairly. I actually that some of the best bars out there are in West Allis
for sure, and it's changing a lot. It's becoming even more, I mean, I'm going to sound gross saying it, hip.
Yeah, it's doing the PBR thing right now.
It is doing that. But the best joke about it, I mean, No, it's literally like if a headliner comes into town and they're like, what's a place around here that everyone will laugh at?
Yeah.
You go West Dallas.
Yeah.
And then they can say that and endear themselves to the crowd.
Right, right. That's such a headliner thing to do.
Yeah.
What's the rich part of town? What's the not rich part of town? What's the part of town that everyone laughs at?
Yeah.
You know, kind of those, you can fit it into the place of a joke that needs that. If West Dallas had a theme song, what would it be?
Wow. If West Dallas had a theme song. I don't like saying it, but it would be in the country vein.
In the country vein?
I think.
That's a tough question to put you on the spot with.
But at the same time,
yeah,
Liberace is from the area.
Liberace is from the area.
And if he were with us today, I would like an original composition.
Wow, that's a nice dodge on that.
Yeah,
I like
thank
what you,
you
did
so
there.
Much.
Fun story, quick story. My great-grandparents grew up next door, or someone's piano teacher lived next door to Liberace. Long story short, somehow I've got a picture of Liberace, a framed picture, and it says "Too Fair." That's my Nana's name, Fair. Too Fair from Liberace.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have it in my possession. It's pretty cool.
Forget about the rest of your memorabilia. That's number one.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Liberace is, a lot of people don't know that Liberace's from Wisconsin.
We got a couple of weird ones like that, like Houdini is like Appleton.
Yes, Houdini is from Appleton.
Yeah.
Steve Miller, not Stephen Miller, the dude in the Trump plays, but Steve Miller Band.
Yeah, you know? Rocking Me, yeah.
Yeah, Keep on Rocking Me, Baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have so many famous. Les Paul.
Let's go.
He's from Waukesha. Mark Ruffalo, he's from Kenosha, isn't he?
Yeah, come
or
on.
Somewhere down mm-hmm. there. Yeah. We're just
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, mm-hmm. 1984, very relevant these days.
How so?
I don't know. I don't know. I've just heard that. What's that?
1984 is George Orwell.
What the f*** did you say?
Orson Welles.
Oh, Orson Welles.
I didn't catch that, though. I was like, I guess Orson Welles did a you know, adaptation.
Close.
Yeah, that's funny. That's what my brain does.
Reading.
We are turning Reading. So dumb. let's see here. What else? Oh, you know what? We don't need to mention any of the serial killers, though. Let's just forget about them.
Can I just say, though?
Sure.
I was just at a comedy festival in Ann Arbor,
yeah.
And I was talking
there.
Did you?
For like a month.
Oh, okay. Is that living somewhere?
For me, it was living at the time of my life. It was just out of college, 3 months.
Okay.
Take it back, 3 months. And at that young, it's
living.
Living.
Yeah,
yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But
now
I,
it's just breathing and it 3 months is gone. But yeah. I'll stop cutting you off. What
no.
about it?
I was just talking to a new friend who was from Seattle, I think. And she made a comment about it being the serial killer, you know, capital. And I was like, excuse me, please, Wisconsin.
Oh, she was trying to say that.
Yeah. And I never thought I would try to flex in that way.
But
I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah. How many people could she even list off as being a serial killer from...
I should have even asked, but I didn't because I was so done with it.
That's wild. I don't know of any serial killers from Ann Arbor. Let's see here.
Ann Arbor, but like Washington State.
Oh, you just met her in Ann Arbor?
Yeah.
Good listening skills, Charlie. Washington, isn't Ted Bundy from there? Or?
He was the only one that I thought possibly.
Let's see here. Some well-known killers from Washington State include Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer, Robert Lee Yates, the Spokane Serial Killer, and Wesley Allen Dodd.
But are any of those with the name recognition?
Jake Bird, George Russell, Kenneth Bianchi, Bianchi. Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
And Warren Leslie Forrest. Now, if I say serial killers from Wisconsin.
Like, you got the two with huge name recognition right off the top.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severton. The police department confirms to ABC News three people are dead and 14 others injured from the mass shooting last night at Young Park in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
1143 Central, we have multiple gunshot victims.
Police radio from Grotesquify, no arrests yet. The Trump administration targeting a new set of migrants for deportation, says ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
The Trump administration says that as soon as next month, they are revoking the legal status of more than 500,000 migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. If they don't leave after losing their status, they could be targets for deportation.
More vandalism against Teslas. Three people charged for allegedly hurling gasoline bombs at Tesla vehicles across three states. Measles cases nationwide are more than the total for all of last year. Officials say most of the cases are in Texas and New Mexico, most not vaccinated or unknown vaccination status. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Badgers face BYU. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. March Madness, it's Wisconsin and Brigham Young University tonight in Denver. Badgers forward Nolan Winter. On what kind of team is BYU?
Yeah, I mean, a very tough team, well coached. Could shoot the three at a very high level, so going to be a point emphasis for us to limit those. But no, they're really good in transition too, so it's going to be a good game for us and a good test for us for sure.
Game time, 6:25. It was one and done for Marquette, losing last night in the first round to New Mexico, led by head coach Richard Pitino, 75-66. Marquette Shaka Smart after the loss.
Yeah, congrats to New Mexico, Coach Pitino. I thought they won the battle of poise. They were the more poised team over the majority of the game.
Boys high school basketball in the state finals today at the Kohl Center in Madison. Tonight, Racine Park against Tulsa West in Division II, followed by Wisconsin Lutheran versus Marshfield in Division I. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice start to the weekend with sunny skies today and highs in the mid-30s. For tonight, a mix of rain and snow developing late, becoming breezy as well with a low near 26. On Sunday, a mix of rain and snow changing to all rain with highs in the lower 40s. Right now, it's 28 degrees.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Charlie Behrens, and this is the Cripes Cast on Civic Media. Here's my conversation with comedian Dana Ehrman.
Let's see here. Some well-known killers from Washington State include Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer, Robert Lee Yates, the Spokane serial killer, and Wesley Allen Dodd.
But are any of those with the name recognition?
Jake Byrd, George Russell, Kenneth Bianchi, Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
And Warren Leslie Forrest. Now, if I say serial killers from Wisconsin.
Like, you got the two with huge name recognition right off the top.
Yeah, but I kind of... Wisconsin serial killers in the dark. There's not a list that comes up as soon as you Google it from Wisconsin.
Are you going to have me apologizing to this
no,
girl?
No, no, no. Okay, Ed Gein. Obviously. Okay, Ed Gein, Jeffrey Dahmer. Oh, okay. Ed Gein, Jeffrey Dahmer. That's it? Damn. Making a Murderer. Yeah, I don't know that. How many people did I think?
Not as prolific, but quite famous.
Quite famous, yeah. So we got two, apparently.
Well, I guess I have some atonement to.
I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm surprised too. And also keep in mind, I didn't do a whole lot of research there. That was a quick Google.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put a whole lot of credence into it. But so far, yeah, I think she's not as much name recognition on a lot of them, but I bet out there it's got a lot of name recognition.
Sure, sure.
Anyways, that's how it goes. So cool. Serial killers.
That's how it goes.
So are you planning on staying in Milwaukee and keeping doing the comedy here? Or are you thinking of going out and trying out Chicago or something else? Do you like the Milwaukee scene? What do you think?
Well, so I do like the Milwaukee scene. I feel like it's better than it's ever been. I think about moving a lot, but one thing that, you know, keeps me here right now is just being by family, like my mom. She has Alzheimer's disease. So with something like that, I like to stay, you know, close and just be with her and, you know, be a caregiver too.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sorry that, that's something that you've been dealing with for a long time. And it's kind of a thing where I'm sure it obviously doesn't get easier as it goes along. But how have you been handling that and dealing with that?
I mean, just the best I can. Like you said, it doesn't get better. It just, the nature of it, you know, is decline. So it's like having to adapt constantly. And it's like the longer that it goes on, it's like you've got to like fall in love with the new version of the person and like not focus on what they've lost, but just like who's in front of you. So I try to do that, and we try to have fun and do as much as we can. But yeah, it's hard, man. I gotta just talk to friends about it. And I talk a little bit about it on stage. That's kind of like a new frontier for it. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard. You got to find support where you can get it.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that a lot of people struggle with. I think we all know somebody kind of who has it or is helping out a parent or a friend with it. And you know, you've been dealing with it for a while now.
Yeah.
And do you have like any tips for people who might have just discovered that this is happening with a loved one, and how to sort of interact with it, how to sort of approach it. I mean, you just mentioned, which I think is very beautiful, like seeing every stage and every phase of Alzheimer's being like a new opportunity to fall in love with this person, which I think is so cool. And I've never heard it really said that way. Do you have any other tips or things that you'd recommend for people?
Yeah, there's so many things. I mean, if you're starting to notice something with like a parent or a grandparent, I mean, there are signs of normal aging, but then there are signs of dementia. And so I think it's really important. You can go on the internet and like the Alzheimer's Association has a lot of resources. But if you even have like an inkling that something could be wrong, get that person into their primary care doctor and make sure somebody goes with them, like whether that's you or somebody else, just to kind of get screened for it. Like they can do tests that give them an idea if something might be going on. And then if they do suspect that there may be signs of dementia, then they can get you rolling in a process of like actually figuring out if you have dementia and getting a diagnosis, because the earlier you get a diagnosis, the better for multiple reasons. One would be it just gives you more time to figure out what you want to do when you know what you're dealing with. Like you can figure out, you know, plans for care, making financial plans, all that. The more time you have to do that stuff, the better. But also, this wasn't an option for my mom at the time. But right now, if you get an early diagnosis, there are two treatments available that only work if you're really early in the process, that try to slow down the progression of the disease. So, I mean, those are like practical things that I would do if I thought someone in my life was showing signs. But then also to just try to learn about it any way you can, reading and also like maybe taking in some education programs from a place like the Alzheimer's Association that just kind of tell you what you can expect and give you tips for like how to interact with someone as it progresses. You know, you learn things like not to argue with someone, because that'll just confuse and upset them. Like if they tell you something that you know is not true, you might just like roll with it because, you know, why not? You just, the further along that you get into it, you gotta join that person's reality, even if it's not yours. So yeah, sorry, that was a lot, but
no, I mean, that's super helpful. I mean, and as crude of an analogy as this is, or like, it's almost like improv to like
it is though. Yeah,
there's all like an improv. The game is yes. And somebody gives you something and then you say, yes, that is true. And this, you don't say no, but because then there's nowhere for the scene to go. And I mean, it's almost an interesting way of thinking of it, of like at a certain point, you're kind of almost playing a game.
Kind of. Yeah. And it's hard. It's easier to say that than it is to practice it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's easy to say when it's not your mom or someone that you love with all these memories and everything there. And
well, and that's even another thing is like if I come across somebody else with dementia, it's easier for me to embody those principles with them if I didn't know who they were before.
Right.
But it's like when it's your loved one right in front of you, you remember when they were sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
You know that they used to be capable of of critical thinking and logic. And so sometimes when the situation's right in front of you, yeah, you're like,
Yeah.
Why don't you get it? Even though you know why. And sometimes you can't help it. Like, my mom was known for drinking Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. Like, she would have several a day. And I got her one not that long ago. And she looked at it and was like, Coke, I haven't had one of these in 20 years. And I couldn't help it. I was like, Carol, that's insane. Like, and I know I shouldn't have done that. I should have just been like, I know, right? But I was like, oh, my God. You gotta be kidding. It's hard because you can do so well and just like lose your patience one time and just feel like you've screwed everything up.
I mean obviously, and then how do you I think you just saying that is really important for people to hear, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there blaming themselves for a mishap here or there, and maybe still are, but hearing you say that I think is really impactful and all that. Do you have more that you kind of want to say on that? Like, or you know what, as I'm struggling to kind of ask you questions about this, I think what are questions that, like, because I think it's tough for people who are not experiencing Alzheimer's in their life to kind of maybe engage without saying like, oh, how's your mom doing? Are there like maybe questions that you wish people would ask you, or like areas to take the conversation, not to take the conversation when it comes to like being sensitive about what somebody's going through?
Well, that's a very nice question.
Is it a nice question?
Yeah.
Also kind of a lazy question. What question should I ask you right now?
No, that's really nice. Well, I think so many people are caregivers, and that's not something I had any concept of before. And same with the disease. Like, before this touched my life, I knew nothing of Alzheimer's disease except like, oh, they forget stuff.
Right.
And it's like, it's so much more than that, because it's not just forgetting information. It's forgetting like people. It's forgetting how to do things. It's a physical decline that accompanies the cognitive decline. And then I just had no idea what it's like to be a caregiver. So for Wisconsin alone, almost 111,000 people have Alzheimer's, and 205,000 are caregivers. And they crunch the numbers, and it's like, if you figured out the value of all the hours of unpaid care that family caregivers provide, it's in like the billions.
Wow.
It's just, so I think if you know somebody who is caring for another, and I mean, this can even be just the people in your life that are parents who are taking care of kids. I mean, it's such a gargantuan job. And I think a lot of people close to me are very sweet and want to know how they can help. And I don't know, like, how they can help. Mm. So the conversation is always like, you know, let me know if I can do anything for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm always thinking, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you have a caregiver, a better thing to do than say that is to just pick something to do for them and do it. Mm. Because that alleviates any guilt they might have asking for help. It takes the onus off of them to figure out like how you can be helpful. So I think that would be a good thing for caregivers in your life. But otherwise, I do just like being asked how my mom is, because it just opens the door for me to talk about it. Whereas other times I feel like, like maybe I'm bringing it up too much. And that just like tells me like, oh, it's okay to just like talk about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then as far as the...
That's a real good point, too, of like, I think some people would say, I don't want to bring it up if you don't want to talk about it, don't want to, you know, ruin the mood or whatever. You know, I think that what you're saying makes a lot of sense of just bringing up if it's oh, fine, whatever. But if you want to talk about it, to talk about it. Yeah.
Well, and I think, and two, I don't know if you've ever felt this way. It's like grief. Like I always thought that asking a friend who's experiencing grief, I thought that if I brought up their situation, that I would be reminding them of like the person they lost. But it's like, no, they're already thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't remind them. So it's almost better to just ask than not.
Right.
And this is almost the same thing. Like, it's not like you're going to remind me in the middle of an otherwise joyful day that my mom has this disease, you know? So right. You can just ask because I'm thinking about it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really good. It makes a lot of sense, you know, very logically. It's almost like, though, when you're sick, you know what it's like to be sick and you're like, oh, this is so awful. And then you're not sick. Like you don't have the stomach flu and you're like, I don't even remember what that was like. You know, is it that bad?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
But I think it's good to have those conversations. And then I know you said that like it's hard to tell somebody something to do or pick something to do. I mean, but to like brainstorm a little bit with like getting somebody like a gift card for food or so that they don't have to think about meals or
yeah.
something or like making them a casserole, you know?
Absolutely.
Or I don't know, you know, I'm just throwing out other ideas just for people who are listening and you can say if it's a good idea or a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, are movies, is that like a good sort of thing to take someone who maybe has Alzheimer's with it? Is movies a good way of interacting or not really a good
way?
Well,
you know, it kind of depends what stage they're in.
Right, right.
Yeah. And yeah, how far along. Like in the early stages, I think so. I think that's a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as they get later in the disease, there could be different things that make it not great. And what's so weird is my mom kept saying about a year ago, like, we got to go to the movies because she remembered that that's a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't realize that everything about it, she wouldn't actually like it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Because we took her for Mother's Day and it's an unfamiliar place. Like mm-hmm. she has her comfort zone of like her apartment.
Yeah.
And so if she's anywhere different for more than an hour, it starts to be like she kept leaning over to me being like, we get to go home, right? And then even just in terms of the senses, it was a little loud. So that was overwhelming. So with different activities for the person, you just kind of got to suss out like their usual preferences with, you know, how far along they are. And, you know, it kind of depends on the situation.
Yeah.
But so movies could be something, but. Yeah, even, you know, I've had people say things like, if you need help with laundry or whatever, but I'd rather someone just be like, I'm coming to pick up your laundry, rather than just like, say, let me know.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just say you're going to do it instead right. of floating it out there.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, yeah. And I've actually... I've heard that said before from other people who are you know, just lost a loved one or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's good because, you know, we live in a very Midwest nice place, and it's just sometimes it's good to know exactly how to be nice and do that. And also just, I think, getting, something for the caregivers. Everybody knows a caregiver out there. Or you, as you said, 200,000, you know, that it's a lot of folks in Wisconsin alone. So if you know someone caregiving, it's not necessarily just about who they're taking care of, but, taking care of the people or taking care of the folks that are creating an incredible economic value for the state, you know,
because
without you guys, that money, it's taxpayers are paying for it. So you guys are really, you know,
and that's a whole other part we won't even get into of like, we need the family caregivers because there aren't enough professional ones.
Right.
Like there's such a shortage.
And then finding good ones and ones that gel with your loved ones.
Yeah.
You know? That's not an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, if there's anything you need me to do, just let me know. Okay.
Will do.
Yeah. Just kidding. I'm going to get you a casserole. So I do want to play. I want to switch gears here, unless, of course, there's something that you wanted to say about Alzheimer's and more about what people can do before we kind of swap over this more fun aspect of the deal.
Well, yeah, only a like if you have questions or whatever, like go online, go to like ALZ.org for the Alzheimer's Association. There's a ton of stuff you can read about what the disease is and what signs are. And if you're already a caregiver, they have a 24/7 helpline that's free that you can call and like a master's level clinician will answer and like give you advice or like guide you through something or whatever. But also because it's my life right now, I'm like starting to talk about it in comedy. But it can be a tough thing to like, how do you transition into like, you know, well, my mom's got Alzheimer's, and then you feel the crowd just go like, you know, silent, uncomfortable. Like, it's an interesting challenge to try to do that and still be funny and not like absolutely kill a show, you know?
I've seen you do it. I've seen you do it a few jokes here and there. You do an incredible job. Each one is really, really funny.
Trying to get better. Yeah. And add more. And
yeah, it's a tough thing. Anytime you bring up a serious topic,
you
got to kick the piss out of it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Otherwise people will get uncomfortable and it's not easy, but I think super important because so many people are dealing with this and they want to laugh about it and they can recognize, they have that recognition of those very nuanced, very specific things that you encounter in dealing with your mom with Alzheimer's, super universal. And even not just to Alzheimer's, just with caretaking and being a caretaker. I mean, there's so much rich stuff there. I'm really glad you're diving into that.
Thanks, man.
Anything else that you wanted to chit chat about that?
I think that covers it.
Okay. All right. Well, I do want to sort of transition, play a couple games with you here. You are quite the Wisconsin State Fair connoisseur.
Oh, I appreciate that. Takes one to know.
Well, I want to know State Fair hot takes. Best food you've had at State Fair.
Oh man, I did enjoy the hot dog donut combo. Like it was like a donut bun.
I remember that, yeah.
And some glaze on it. That was really good.
That's all the time we have for now, folks. If you want to listen to my full Cripescast, just check out the Cripescast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No. Gotta keep her moving.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director of a new documentary called A Road at Night, John Roach. And then actor Ezekiel Drews joins the show to talk about a fun new musical. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome to Staples.
I hear Staples prints it all for any business.
You bet, and we'll beat any print quote.
So if I had a pizza place...
Staples can print signs, menus, pizza boxes.
A landscaping business?
Oh, we can print yard signs, t-shirts, brochures.
How about a pizza slash landscaping business? I'll call it Dough and Moe.
I like it.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4-5, exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in-store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/price match for details.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with station.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark. Green Bay's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severton. The police department confirms to ABC News three people are dead and 14 others injured from the mass shooting last night at Young Park in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
1143 Central, we have multiple gunshot victims.
Police radio from Grotesquify, no arrests yet. The Trump administration targeting a new set of migrants for deportation, says ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
The Trump administration says that as soon as next month, they are revoking the legal status of more than 500,000 migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. If they don't leave after losing their status, they could be targets for deportation.
More vandalism against Teslas. Three people charged for allegedly hurling gasoline bombs at Tesla vehicles across three states. Measles cases nationwide are more than the total for all of last year. Officials say most of the cases are in Texas and New Mexico, most not vaccinated or unknown vaccination status. This is ABC News. The search